That's enough musical outtakes.
Is that still on?
Yeah, I record everything.
Oh. Mm-hmm. You never know when you're going to get good bloopers.
Yeah, exactly. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Catholic Bites. This is Father Conrad. I've got with me Father Chris Seif and Father Patrick Lewis. And today we're going to talk about the Eucharist. And in particular, what aspect are we talking about?
Well, we're going to, first of all, begin by answering the question that Thomas raises in the Summa about when does the sacramental presence cease to be present in the sacrament. I'm not using the right words.
No, you're not. It's okay.
When does the Eucharist cease to be present?
Yeah, so like after you've consumed the Eucharist, at what point is Jesus no longer present sacramentally? Like, does he go all the way down to your mitochondria?
Entrails.
And, you know, yeah, go crazy? Or like, at what point does it leave? It's a fascinating question.
Sure.
I don't know if people think about this too readily. You know, they just kind of receive the Eucharist and go. But what? So where do we find the answer?
Father?
Well, the answer, I wish we had it in front of us. The answer is found in the Summa, among many other places. But basically, the teaching comes down to this, which is because the Eucharist is a sacrament, and a sacrament is, I'll give the old catechism definition, an outward sign instituted by Christ that gives grace. When the thing that you see, Jesus,
the outward sign,
ceases to be present, the substance of Jesus's body, blood, soul, and divinity ceases to be present.
Yeah. So, like the root of the key of the sacrament is that it conveys grace through a sacramental sign, right? So, like the pouring of the water at baptism is an outward sign that actually conveys the grace, and that it's, you know, it needs actual water to be poured in order for that to happen. And so with the Eucharist, it's unique in that there's a real presence there that isn't in some of the other sacraments, but that outward sign of the bread and wine that's been consecrated is what conveys the grace. And when it's not there anymore, then Jesus isn't there anymore.
And a little thought about language also, which is the sign is bread and wine. I think, you know, there were sort of groovy, trendy theologians who got things wrong, and they would say, oh, the Eucharist is just a symbol.
Yeah.
They would say, and of course, we good Catholics and good priests have to correct people and say, no, this truly is the body and blood of Jesus. What is a symbol is what appears to be bread and wine, because there is not truly bread and wine there. That is a symbol pointing to Jesus.
So one of the groovy theologians was Edmund Schillebix, and we just have to say his name because Schillebix is such a...
Is that how you pronounce it? I thought it was Schillebix.
No, it's not Schillebix.
Oh, this is earth-shattering. I already always said Schillebix.
It's Schillebix. It's Dutch, but I could be wrong here.
If we have any Dutch listeners, I'm sure they'll let us know.
I don't think
his name is a sign to the essence of who he is, right?
Wow. Anyway, quick side story, because when we were in seminary, our friend and Catholic Bites friend,
superstar,
podcast,
you might say,
Father Alex Scott, wanted to form a Edmund Schillebix reading group, the early Schillebix before he went off the deep end, and he called it the Skillabuddies. And get off the ground.
Weird.
But, oh, it was super weird.
Weird that that's going to take off, you know?
But anyway, so yeah, you're right. There's a real presence. Jesus is actually there. But the language of sign is important, right? That it conveys the grace that is that presence of Christ to us. You know, we don't actually have to munch on flesh.
Right. Father, you looked like you were going to say something. I wanted to say something too, but you're very excited.
Okay, this is my favorite question to get from a kid or to pose to a child, you know, in a catechetical lesson, is to say, why does Jesus, you sort of go through, explain transubstantiation, all these things, why does Jesus make himself present under what appears and tastes and smells and looks like bread and wine? Why does he make himself present in that way? And eventually, one intelligent kid, I mean, 8-year-olds, 9-year-olds in the class, will give the answer that Thomas gives, which is otherwise, it would be disgusting.
Yeah, it would be gross. Yeah.
Wow.
So, like, he says, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood. And the people say, how can we do that? That's crazy. And they leave him. And we trust, of course, that he institute a way for us to consume him, body and blood, but in a way that is meets us where we are, you know, meets us where we are.
The it's, you know, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ is present as long as the sign is present of bread and wine.
Exactly.
What happens then if the, you know, there's crumbs? Is the sign still present? This is something that, like, a lot of times you often will see the priest, you know, purifying the vessels after Mass. They're not, and sometimes you hear people say, oh, they're doing the dishes, right? That's not what the priest is doing at all. There's something really sacred happening.
Yeah, because a crumb is still recognizable as
it's a crumb of bread.
Of bread.
If you can see it's a crumb of bread, then it's not actually a crumb of bread. It's the body and blood of our Lord.
The blood of Christ is present there, and so that's why we treat it with such reverence, and we desire to really care for the vessels and purify them well in order to do reverence to the body and blood of Christ. Yeah. And that brings us to the other question, which people always ask, especially me in the office of worship.
Sure,
they ask this question all the time, which is, what do you do if a host has fallen on the ground, or if in some way, like one time I was giving communion to someone in a nursing home, and it like went on their tongue fell on the ground, and so you can't consume it yourself. Normally what I say is just consume it yourself as best you can, but there's certain circumstances where that doesn't work. And so you have to dispose of our Lord in this sacrament in a way that's appropriate to his sacred nature.
Right. So, because ultimately it would be a matter of, okay, how do we sort of almost dissolve the sacrament? Because what happens in the case of like a host, the consecrated bread, you would put in water and you put that water into the tabernacle until the host could dissolve, right?
Mm-hmm. Because when the host is dissolved, the sign is no longer...
Exactly. As long as it ceases to look, taste, and everything like bread, it ceases to be the presence of our Lord.
And then you still treat that water with great...
Exactly.
And like you don't just, you know, throw that down the drain. There's special sinks and things like that. And
right in the sacristy, you've got the sacrarium.
Exactly.
And this is always a wonderful thing to, you know, if anyone, any of the listeners haven't been on a sacristy tour, they should go and see and learn about the sacrarium and see that this is a sink that goes directly into the ground, because we wouldn't want anything associated with the sacraments or that has come in contact with the Eucharist to go into the sewers and regular plumbing.
And just to that effect, also, there's a beautiful story about Dorothy Day. A priest came for Mass, and he was very out of it. Clearly, a kind of disgruntled priest, and he came there for Mass, and he asked before Mass if he could have a coffee mug. And Dorothy Day wasn't sure what was going on, so she, okay, fine. So she gets him a coffee mug, and he ends up consecrating the body and blood of our Lord using the coffee mug as a chalice.
Yeah, that's not cool.
No, very not okay. And then after Mass, just disposing of the coffee mug in the trash. He just had something, again, clearly totally off. Dorothy Day went and very reverently genuflected to the trash can, took the coffee mug out, purified it, and then buried the coffee mug. Because anything that has the body and blood of our Lord in it can no longer be treated as though it's just any other object. It's set apart now. It's come in contact with the Holy of Holies. You don't just discard of that. I always think of that also, just how we treat our brothers and sisters that have received the body and blood of our Lord.
Yeah.
You know, it's...
You become a tabernacle.
You become a tabernacle.
Because it doesn't... The bread doesn't just... The host doesn't just dissolve right away. You still
exactly.
feel good. Like the saints talk about, like, for 10, 15 minutes maybe after Mass, you're still carrying sacramentally the body of Christ around in you.
What's the story? Was it Fulton Sheen who someone was leaving Mass early, and he went and followed them out with a candle saying that we should recognize that our Lord is walking out of the church here.
And that's one of the good reasons why we should make a Thanksgiving after Mass, or we recognize that that there's something really sacred still going on in us. We don't just go straight to the coffee and donuts, although we should go to those too eventually. But well, that's great. Thanks. Thank you guys. This is really helpful. I think helping us recognize exactly when Jesus Christ is present, when we need to really treat him and his body with respect and reverence, and how incredible he is in the sacraments. If you like this podcast, you want to hear other podcasts about the sacraments, about our Lord in the Eucharist, you can check out our website, CatholicBitesPodcast.com, or find us on iTunes. Thank you, and God bless you.